previously on the Skip and Josh Sports Show.
I don't know if you know that next year for baseball, every single voter has to make their votes public.
That's good, because then there's going to be shaming.
Exactly.
Yeah, shaming exactly. is powerful.
You're listening to the Skip and Josh Sports Show.
Skip.
Hey.
How's it going?
Very good. How are you?
I'm good. Normally, we don't start the show talking about college basketball, but because March is starting next week, I'd like to talk about college basketball first, if that's okay with you.
I think it's great. You know, February is like a tough month. You know, once the NFL season ends, there's much less going on in the sports world. We've just come off a few weeks of all-star games, you know, in the NHL and the NBA. So, like, that's like dead zone completely.
I'm glad you said games after All-Star.
Oh, yeah. I know I mentioned to you that you had a What Bugs Me from a few weeks ago about people calling the All-Star games All-Star. Welcome to All-Star. And yeah. I was actually skeptical about it. I trusted you completely because I know you're not making stuff up. And if something's bugging you, it's legit. But I'd never actually heard it myself. And then this week, like just at the NBA, around the time of the NBA All-Star game, I saw like on TV, welcome to All-Star 2017. I was like, what the hell is this?
Mm.
Yeah, I was like, this is ridiculous. Anyways, back to college basketball.
Yeah, so I don't know if you got to watch any basketball, but Wednesday, it's funny. It seems like Wednesdays are like the most important sports days of the week lately. Remember in December or January, we had that crazy Wednesday where Duke was playing and the Canadians were playing and Team Canada was playing.
Right.
And we could have done a whole episode just on that day.
Yeah.
Well, this past Wednesday, there were a lot of exciting college basketball games. For starters, Butler upset Villanova.
Huge. That's like the first time Villanova's lost at home in years.
Yeah, 74-66. And I mean, Butler's not exactly a bad team, but they're not exactly Villanova either.
No, right.
And then that same night, well, Kansas beat TCU. No, not really a surprise. Oregon was playing California. And it was on the road. Oregon was on the road. And Oregon was down by, I think, 10 points with about 2.5 minutes to go in that game. And they hit three consecutive three-pointers. And they ended up winning the game in regulation time, 68-65. And there are three Canadian players on that team that accounted for like 85% of their points.
Yeah, I know. Their two best players are returning players. They're both Canadian. Oregon is, look, they're number six in the country for a reason. And they are legit. Like, they are a legit contender. I wouldn't count them out. I mean, you know as well as I do, anybody could beat anybody.
Exactly.
It's a wild year in college basketball.
It is. And then there was a great ACC matchup not involving Duke. It was, there were two. One was and one wasn't. So North Carolina played Louisville, and it was at Chapel Hill, and they beat Louisville, which, I mean, not exactly an upset, but Louisville's actually ranked higher than North Carolina, or at least they were going into that game.
Right. But home court's huge, right?
Yeah. And then I haven't even talked about the two buzzer beaters that night. Firstly, there was Providence beat Creighton, which is also an upset.
Yeah.
On, I think it was a last second buzzer beater. And then, of course, I'm saving the best for last.
Or the worst.
Or the worst, right. Where Duke lost to Syracuse in Syracuse, also on a buzzer beater, where Duke actually was a tie game and Duke had the ball with, I think, about 10 seconds left in the game.
It was a terrible possession. We had terrible offensive possession.
Luke Kennard didn't get a good shot off, and Grayson Allen wasn't having a good game, so the ball was given to Luke Kennard, which is fine. I have no problem with that. He didn't get a good shot off, and then Syracuse got the rebound, didn't call a timeout, didn't give Duke a chance to set up, and Gillian just takes the ball to basically not even the three-point line.
He just heaved it up.
Yeah, and it hits the backboard and it goes in. It was like such a lucky shot.
I really didn't like the last possession. I don't mind, like you said, I love the ball to go into Kennard. I told you last week, I think everything he shoots is going in. But I didn't like it that he shot with like time left on the clock. It you know, you have the last shot. You can't give the other team another chance. You have to try to shoot with like 2 seconds left, just enough time for you to get an offensive rebound and that's it, you know? So we shot a little bit too early, especially it was a terrible shot, you know? Like, it wasn't a good shot.
I mean, I wonder, because they were scrambling and his back was to the net at one point. He may not have known how much time was left on the shot clock or on the game clock for that
matter. True enough, yeah.
So he was probably just thinking, I just got to heave something up before the buzzer goes.
That's a huge win for Syracuse. It might get them into the tournament. It might.
Yeah, it probably will. It probably will. And it was a huge win. And you know what? I mean, obviously, I prefer when Duke wins. But to lose to a team like that in the ACC on their court, you know, I think Duke's record speaks for itself, and I'm not too concerned about their tournament seeding or anything like that.
Well, I mean, look, they're not going to be a one. We know that.
No, they're not. They weren't going to be a one anyway.
It's going to be a stretch, I think, for them to be a two.
I agree.
So we're looking at like a three or four, and it's fine.
Yeah, with that loss, they probably went down to a four seed. But the thing is, they have three games left plus the ACC tournament. So a lot can change between now and March 12th.
Yeah.
I'm not too concerned about
it. If you look at the top 25, like, or the overall rankings, like, you know, really, really good teams are going to be 5 and 6 seeds, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing. There might be the top four might be, you know, on a league of their own, let's say, in a league of their own.
I don't even know about that. But
then after that, there's a lot between the two seeds all the way down to like the six seeds. I don't know how much difference there is, you know?
Well, like, look, if you're like, you're in the tournament and, you know, you're playing like Notre Dame, who might end up being like a six seed, like, I wouldn't feel comfortable playing them at all. Like, they could beat anybody. Same thing with Butler. Same thing with Florida State. I mean, Virginia's on a crazy slide right now. You know, they're going to end up being seeded a little bit lower too, but they defend better than anybody in the country pretty much. So, like, I don't know. Like, I think it's going to be a wild tournament this year where kind of anything's going to go. So,
yeah. And then we only talked about Wednesday. So then on Thursday, there were three top seeded teams playing. Gonzaga destroyed San Diego 96-38. I've never seen such a lopsided score in years, I think.
Right.
And that's you know, we discussed that last episode where Gonzaga isn't playing any strong opponents, and so I don't know how prepared they're going to be for the tournament.
But at least if the opponents they are playing, they're blowing them out, which is like what they have to do, right?
And they should be, and they should be. I mean,
they're going to be
just
a one. They're going to be a one seed. Whether they're going to be the top number one seed. Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, if they don't lose, really, the committee can't knock them down because they've won every game they're supposed to win.
Right.
58 points margin of victory, that's their biggest margin this season. So.
Yeah.
Then two Pac-12 games, Arizona defeated USC, and UCLA defeated Arizona State. So, so the Pac-12 is actually an underrated conference, if you ask me.
Well, Oregon, UCLA, Arizona, you know, that's legit, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if anyone from the Pac-12 is going to be a one seed in the tourney, but certainly if they're not, they'll be.
It's going to be hard because, if you work under the assumption that Gonzaga is going to be a one, right? And then let's say Villanova and Kansas are also ones, right?
Right. Right.
So that leaves one more team. So you're talking about like one team from the Pac-12, Arizona, UCLA, Oregon. But then what about the ACC, the toughest conference in the country?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, what about, you know, North Carolina or Louisville? I mean, we'd already talked about Duke, but, you know, like, it would be strange, you know? I mean, the ACC is so loaded. I mean, of course, their overall records are not going to be as good because they're just beating up on each other, all those teams, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see.
I still think Kansas is the best team in the country. And, you know, they're going to be tough to get out of the tournament.
One other thing I was watching, unfortunately, we didn't get to see the Duke game on Wednesday because one of the television providers in this country decided to put some UFC special on instead of the Duke game, which was quite frustrating. But they did put on the Oregon California game. It was Dave Pasch and Bill Walton were doing that game for ESPN. Now, obviously, you know who Bill Walton is. I don't know if you've seen any games that he's done recently.
Not really, no.
I think he's lost it. I honestly think Bill Walton has lost it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going around the internet lately that you see on Facebook and social media, just making fun of Bill Walton and like...
Well, you should have heard some of the things he was saying during the game. First of all, at one point, they were showing, like normally you just hear the guys doing the commentary. You don't actually see them.
Right.
But the camera was on them and they had the California mascot was right behind them. And Bill Walton was chatting with the mascot. Now, the mascot obviously wasn't answering because mascots don't talk. But he was trying to have like a normal conversation with the mascot. It was the strangest thing. And then Dave Pasch, who's a credible play-by-play guy,
yeah,
was asking Bill Walton some legitimate questions when there was like a lull during the game. He was asking him, so what do you think of the Boogie Cousins trade in the NBA? And Walton was just like sort of blowing him off. I don't want to talk about that. Who cares about Boogie Cousins? I'm just glad he wasn't traded to any of the teams I like. He's just avoiding the subject. I mean, it was the weirdest thing to see.
It is funny. I'll tell you something about Bill Walton. So I do work with a guy that used to work for the NBA. He told me he once had to go do an interview at Bill Walton's house. He told me Bill Walton is probably one of the nicest athletes he's ever met in his life.
I believe that.
Yeah, he's like, come in, make yourself at home. Like, he had access to his house. It was like he said he was honestly one of the nicest guys he's ever interviewed that I had to do an interview with. So
I believe that.
But, you know, the drugs may have caught up with him at this point. Right?
I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
Hi there, Skip and Josh will be right back. To get in touch with them, you can send them an email to skipandjoshshow@gmail.com. You can follow them on Twitter @skipandjosh, and you can visit their website at www.skipandjosh.com. And now, back to the show.
So here's what I wanted to ask you about the NBA All-Star Game. A few weeks ago, we talked on the show how neither of us were going to watch the NHL All-Star Game or the NFL Pro Bowl. So I did not watch the NBA All-Star Game. I don't know. I don't think you did. But my question is...
It was on in my house because Matthew really wanted to watch it.
Well, this was my question because the type of game that the NBA All-Star Game is appeals to people who are 15 and under.
Yeah.
Which is your son. So I wanted to ask, did Matthew actually watch the NBA All-Star
Game? He watched most of it. He was really, really excited to watch it. He started watching it at the beginning. I think a lot of the appeal of the game was the drama, basically, that the media drummed up. And maybe it was to get viewership, which was the whole, like, Steve Kerr's coaching the team with Westbrook and Durant on it. And is he going to put Westbrook and Durant on at the floor at the same time? So I think that was part of the appeal. You know, and then once that was over, I mean, Matthew didn't watch the whole game to the end, mostly because it's ridiculously boring.
You know? I mean, the scores, every year the scores get higher and higher. There's no defense played at all. And all the All-Star games are bad except for baseball, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. So,
I wasn't surprised that you didn't watch.
There was no defense.
I wanted to know if Matthew watched because I know he likes basketball.
He watched most of it, but he got bored of it. I mean, it's literally just like one alley-oop going one way, one alley-oop the other way, a dunk on this end, a three-pointer on this end. There's no defense whatsoever, right? So Steve Kerr had a good idea saying that each team should be playing for a charity.
I heard that.
And there should be a large sum of money going to the charity that they're playing for, and that would hopefully make them actually try, right? They need some reason to make them try, like, you know?
Yeah, or just abolish it altogether.
Well, that's a whole other story, but
yeah.
I mean, they're not going to do that, I mean, but...
Probably not.
No.
By the way, since we touched on the NBA a little bit, I don't really follow the NBA, so we're not going to get too much into it unless you have something you want to say. But remember when I was complaining last week about the NHL bye weeks, which I still don't like. But what's even worse than the NHL bye weeks is the NBA bye week, because at least in the NHL, every team has like a different bye week, so there's still games going on. But this week, the NBA gave a bye week to the whole league
because of their
All-Star break. And I mean, that's the worst thing you can do because now there's no games at all. There's no news at all. I mean, other than the trade deadline. It's like, what were they thinking when they agreed to that? I don't get it.
It's funny because the All-Star game finished and I was looking at the schedule to see, okay, when is the next game? I actually wanted to see when was going to be Serge Ibaka's first game with the Raptors and, you know, when are the Celtics playing, like the teams that I follow. And I was like, the next game is when?
Thursday, you know? Right?
Yeah. I was like, what? I was in shock. But I guess that's what, I mean, they planned it carefully around the All-Star break and the trade deadline. But you kind of lose momentum, right? You want to keep up the momentum from your All-Star game.
Absolutely. And if they were going to do something like this, you know, do it during the NFL season when not many people are paying attention to the NBA. Don't do it now when no one's paying attention to anything. Like in the States, all there is right now is college basketball and NBA.
Yeah.
You know, so you just shot yourself in the foot sort of by taking a week off at a time of year when you could have had the media all to yourself.
I just want to talk, since we're talking about the trade deadline. Mm. There's something that I wanted to mention. I was going to bring it up when you talked about your what bugs me, but now's a good time as any. Mm-hmm. So the trade deadline.
Yeah.
God. First of all, the NBA is the most fascinating league when it comes to trades, because you always know about them before they happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The NBA is the biggest leaky faucet that there is. Right? You hear about trades like 3 days before, and then usually when you hear about them, they're real. Like, it's not just rumors. Like, there's insiders, and they come up and they say so and so is going to get traded, and then he does. Mm. So what was interesting about this trade deadline is, like, no one really got traded. It was completely useless. Like, there was like no real trades. Like, all the big rumors didn't happen. There was no Jimmy Butler. There was no Paul George. There was no, you know, the Boogie Cousins trade happened, you know, at the All-Star game. So that was like anticlimactic. So basically, you know, look, we don't get ESPN here, so I don't know what they were doing on the trade deadline. If they devoted a whole afternoon to having reporters hanging around talking about the potential trades, but I mean, there was really nothing to report. So that brings me to the NHL trade deadline, which is coming up on next Wednesday.
Of course, Wednesday. Okay.
So as you know, like the sports network landscape in our country is like pretty heated, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, like TSN has five TSNs and Sportsnet has five Sportsnets, and you know, there's French language and plus, you know, regular news like CBC and CTV and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's like both networks are hyping up their trade deadline day special, right? With these video montages of past trade deadlines, and you know, like,
which is just really just men sitting at a desk talking.
But the best is both networks have the same kind of thing, and one of them has like, we start the day with breaking news, which is completely, I'm sure they've completely filmed that for the commercial. It's not something that actually happened, because they never start the day with breaking news. They get on the air at 9 o'clock in the morning and don't talk about anything for 5 hours.
Because nothing happens.
Yeah. So there's nothing happens. So when I see these commercials, like every day I'm seeing the commercials and I'm just laughing my head off. I'm like, oh my God, people are going to tune in. They're going to tune into the pre-trade deadline show and then the real trade deadline show. And then really most of the trades are going to happen.
And the recap trade deadline show.
Most of the trades are just going to happen in the last hour, if anything. I mean, there's not even any big guys out there. You know, there's no one of consequence, you know, like Kevin Shattenkirk is the biggest prize.
And
right?
I think he's already vetoed three trades, I heard.
Give me a break, you know. Matt Duchene, we've got through this ad nauseum, you know. I don't even think Colorado's actually going to trade him. And then who do you have? You know, Patrick Eves? I can't even believe people are going to trade for Patrick Eves. This guy's a nobody.
Ben Bishop. So Ben here's Bishop. what I wanted to ask
Tampa's going to have to decide what they're doing, you know.
Here's what I wanted to ask you, speaking of Shattenkirk.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a no-trade clause, and I think he's vetoed three potential trades already.
Yeah.
And maybe one day we'll find out who those trades were to. I don't know.
Well, apparently he doesn't want to go to certain cities, right?
Right, but here's my question. I have two questions, two completely separate questions. Number one, if a team wants to trade you, why would you want to stay with that team?
I've always thought of that. It's like, why do you want to be around a situation where you know they don't want you?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Plus, they're in a playoff spot, St. Louis, so I don't know why they're so busy to try to dismantle their team.
Well, this leads to my second question. If you have a good player like Kevin Shattenkirk or Matt Duchene or Ben Bishop, why do you want to trade these players away? I get it. Okay, maybe he's going to be a free agent next year. So keep the guy on your team and try to re-sign him.
Well,
why do teams give away good value for nothing. I don't understand.
But look, if you're in last place and you're not going anywhere and you have a high-priced veteran, of course you trade him for draft picks.
Shattenkirk's not old.
Exactly. And neither is Duchesne. There's nothing wrong with Shattenkirk.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, okay, you want to trade Jerome Iginla. I get it.
Shattenkirk's 27. Duchesne's 26.
Yeah.
Landeskog's 24. These guys are like, you could still build your team around them, you know?
There's some things I just never will understand.
Yeah.
Or I will never understand.
Oh, well. Well, that's the trade deadline. So we'll probably talk next episode after the trade deadline's finished, and we'll go over, like, the winners and losers.
The Skip and Josh Sports Show. They don't take your calls.
Since we're on the topic of hockey, I wasn't going to really bring up hockey.
Mm.
I heard something on one of the French sports networks this week, and I don't know, because I only heard the end of it, so I don't know how accurate this is. Did the Canadians have some sort of open practice for the fans this week where Carey Price didn't show up?
This is true, yes.
So what happened? He just didn't show up.
Well, they had this open practice. It was scheduled from a long time. It's a sponsored thing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, no, it's not that he didn't show up. It's a sponsored thing. Fans actually need tickets to go to watch it. And it's supposed to be one of these fun practices. It just so happened that it happened to be, you know, literally the day after Claude Julien took over. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the timing was kind of crazy. What happened, what I heard is that Carey Price had what they called like a therapy day. He was with like the physio or whatever, the trainers for most of the morning. And he didn't want to come out and skate on the ice. So halfway through the practice, he showed up and he sat on the bench. But I mean, yes, I know it's an open practice and the fans want to see the biggest star on the team. But at a certain point, anybody who's making a big deal out of this is kind of crazy. I mean, it's not like he pulled a Carmelo Anthony and left and didn't tell anybody where he is. He's there. The team knew what he was doing. He had obviously had permission to do it. Like, you know, he's there, you know, like he just didn't get dressed and go on the ice and take shots.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. You know, the media in this town, it's nuts. Everybody wants to make FBI investigation about every little thing.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, this is the only city in the world, you know some of the stupidity. You know, they had a reporter outside of Jose Theodore's house taking pictures of his house. They had a guy sneaking into the hospital room taking a picture of Saku Koivu when he almost lost an eye.
Yeah,
I mean, there's nothing that they won't do here, you know?
It is pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Canadians are in Toronto on Saturday to play the Leafs, and no one would have thought months ago that this would be a really important game for the Canadians because the lead in the standings has dwindled down to almost nothing.
Well, I told you last episode it's 50-50 that they're going to make the playoffs, and I'm actually going to downgrade that to 30% chance of making the playoffs.
You see, but you can't because you know everything is 50-50.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, I have last year's debacle so fresh in my mind. And this is, it's literally like we're in a Groundhog Day situation. It's the same thing. It's history repeating itself. The only thing is the GM did something this year and changed the coach, but it's still the same players on the ice. And no one literally, you know, they've been shut out 4 out of the last 8 games. They can't score at all. You know, finally, actually, Price is playing fine now since they got rid of the coach. He's the 3 games that he's played, he's playing well. It's just that they can't score.
Right, which has been the problem for years, actually.
Oh, forever. It's forever. Forever.
In fact, this year, the scoring's actually, I think, other than the last 2 weeks, the scoring's actually a little bit better than it's been the last couple of years.
Most of the year, they've been one of the higher scoring teams, but a lot of that is based on their, you know, the first 20 games when they were crazy hot.
Right. And you know, when a team is crazy hot, that's not indicative of the team. And when the team's crazy bad, that's also not indicative of the team.
Yeah. So speaking of that, Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh, yes. Our Philadelphia correspondent was saying how good the Flyers were when we had him on the show months ago.
Yeah. So it was back at like after maybe the first 20 games and the Flyers were on a 7 or 8 game winning streak. And I didn't even realize it. And I told him, oh, the Flyers are kind of underwhelming. And he kind of took offense and he wasn't too happy with me. So Mark was actually in Montreal this week and I went to a sports bar and we watched the Flyers Capitals game on Wednesday night.
Interesting.
And boy, oh boy, the Flyers are bad. He told me how bad they are. And he pointed out that all their top players are minus 20 in the plus minus. So like Giroux's minus 20, Voracek's minus 20, Shen's minus 20. They're all minus 20. you know, which is quite pathetic.
Well, the team itself has given up 28 more goals than they've scored.
Yeah, so he's like, he wishes they would just get rid of all the veterans, including Giroud, and completely go with the young players.
I'll take Giroud.
Which is what they may do at the trade deadline, you know? The fact is, I think it's interesting that literally, like, one game could make a difference, right? Because we're heading into that trade deadline on Wednesday, and teams are going to have to decide by then. On Wednesday, they're going to decide. On Wednesday, they're going to decide, are they buyers or sellers? So are the Flyers right there, are they buyers or sellers? Buffalo, Tampa. I mean, they're hot lately, but they're going to have to make a decision. Are we buyers or sellers, you know? So anyways, he's not too happy with the Flyers. That's all I have to say.
Check out the Skip and Josh Sports Show on Twitter. You know that little app with the little blue Tweety Bird? Yeah, you can follow them there at Skip and Josh.
So obviously I watch the sports channels quite a bit here, and I keep seeing this commercial over and over and over again. It's a commercial for Walmart, which I don't even go to Walmart that often.
I go every week.
And okay, so maybe you've seen this at the store, but it's a commercial where they're advertising that they're selling CDs. So this is odd for me for a couple of reasons, because A, I don't know who still buys CDs anymore. That's number one. And number two, the CDs that they're selling, it's not like new releases. It's like old CDs that have been out for 20 or 30 years or something. And all of them are $6.97, which, if you think about it, is not a bad deal. But on the other hand, who buys CDs? I could go online and get the music for that price or less.
Yeah.
So these commercials are just very confusing to me. I don't quite understand it.
Now, I've thought of this. It's funny that you bring this up, because I've thought of this many times. I've never seen the commercial that you're talking about. I have no idea what it is, but I've thought about the CD buying business for a while. Like, you know, HMV is closing up, right, in Canada?
Yeah.
So there's no more music stores. Like, where do you go and buy music?
Well, apparently, I saw an article online that Walmart sells more CDs in Canada than any other store in the country.
This makes sense to me. Well, first of all, anybody under the age of, I don't know what, doesn't buy CDs anymore. My kids don't even know what a CD... I mean, they know what a CD player is because we've had them in the cars. We've had them in our home when they were little. But we don't currently have one now, right? And I bet you don't either. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. But if you do have it, you don't use it.
CD player? I just sold my CD player, actually.
I mean, I have a box of 400 CDs in my storage room. Like, if I wanted to listen to them, I'd have to do it on a computer, right? But I think that the actual population that buys CDs is the target audience of what is like the target demographic of Walmart.
That could be. But they're actually spending money to produce these commercials and put them on television. So the money that they're spending on the promotion, I don't even know if they're recouping it in sales.
Who knows? It's really quite crazy. It's really actually quite crazy, right?
Like it's CDs by Journey and Styx and stuff like that.
That's the demographic. They're looking for 50-year-old and older. People that still have their old CD players, and they still listen to CDs because they haven't transitioned to the downloading world yet. That's who they're looking at.
Okay, well then maybe
that's what I think. I don't know. I'm not part of the Walmart, you know, advertising team, but I mean that's the way I see it. But you know, like it's getting to the point where like there's soon going to be no more, right? I don't know if you watched the Grammys last week.
No chance.
Okay, well, have you ever heard of Chance the Rapper?
I have. Oh. Is he related to The Weeknd?
I don't think so, but he's a guy who I never.
These people have names that aren't actually names. They're just words in the dictionary. Right.
So Chance the Rapper is the first artist. Well, not the first artist, but some kind of weird stat. Maybe the first Grammy nominated artist. I'm not sure. Who came out with streaming only.
Okay.
Right.
I'm surprised that hasn't been done before.
You can't get his music on like. On a CD or like anything like that. And I don't even think you can get his album on like iTunes. I think it's only on like the streaming versions like Spotify or Apple Music.
Okay.
Which is, I guess, the next thing, right?
I mean, okay. Everything changes within like 6 minutes. So who knows?
Well, like right now, like the idea of downloading music, it doesn't exist anymore even that much. like the way people buy their get their music is like monthly subscriptions, right? Spotify, Apple Music, these kind of things.
Right, but then you subscribe to a playlist and you don't know what you're going to get. If you want to listen to a specific song,
no,
or
no,
specific
you got to get
album,
you got to get the Spotify Premium.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize.
Yeah, which is what my daughter's been bugging me to get.
Since you brought this up,
well, you brought it up.
No, but about the Spotify and about the streaming service.
Yeah.
I have another question for you. I hear these commercials on the Tony Kornheiser podcast to subscribe to this service where you can get all kinds of different podcasts, you know, news, sports, whatever, you know, entertainment.
Yeah.
And like you pay a monthly subscription fee and you have access to all this different content. My question is, why would anyone pay for that when you can get all these podcasts for free?
What's the commercial? I never heard it.
He does. It's one of the reads that he does.
Really?
Yeah. Like, pay attention to. He doesn't do it every day.
Are you sure it's like? Are you sure it's like audio content? Maybe it's not like magazine style, like written.
I'm pretty sure it's only audio content.
I'm gonna pay attention next time. I mean, I half fall asleep when I listen to his reads, to be honest.
Right. Right.
So speaking of the reeds, how do you like your Harry's razor?
You know what? I haven't actually used it yet. because I was still like I had a brand new blade that I was using when you got the Harry's razor for me.
Yeah. So just to clarify for the fans out there. So I don't know. I mean, if you've listened to us, you know that we are both fans of the Tony Kornheiser show. And Harry's Razors is one of their sponsors. So when I was in the States in the Christmas time, I bought myself a Harry's Razor and I bought one for Josh as well. So you haven't used it yet? Yeah. Well, I mean, you told me that you shave twice a year with a razor. So it's not
so it's going to last me a long time.
It's going to last you about 12 to 15 years.
I actually shave once a week, not twice a year, but yes.
No, but you said with a blade.
With a blade once a week, but only my neck. I don't shave my face.
Good.
With the blade. Good I shave stuff. My face with the electric razor.
I give the Harry's razor a thumbs up in case right. anybody wants to know. So I would endorse it. And if they want to be a sponsor of this show, we would happily take them as a sponsor.
The Skip and Josh Sports Show is back.
So I heard through the grapevine that you have something bugging you.
You're kidding me? Boy, are you bugging me, man? I'm gonna nail. Ooh, I'm getting bugged now. Whoa, man.
I do. I'm glad you asked. This happens every single year at this time of year. So you're gonna know what I'm gonna say as soon as I say the first word.
A lot of times I do. As soon as you start to say something, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah.
Well, as you are probably aware, if you've turned on your television at all this week, this is the week for the Scotties Tournament of Hearts.
Oh, God.
Now, I'm not exactly a curling fan, and I realize that there are a lot of curling fans in Canada, and I realize that the Scotties Tournament of Hearts could be the most important curling tournament of the year.
I personally do not know one curling fan.
Well, I actually happen to know one or two, but that's besides the point. Mm-hmm. So I understand that TSN gets a lot of ratings for this event, for this tournament, and so that's why they cover it from wall to wall, from beginning to end. What I don't understand is, and it doesn't just apply to curling, but it bugged me this week, and I'll tell you why.
Can I guess?
You already know. You don't have to guess. Like, why? If they have five TSN channels...
Oh my God, that's so true.
Why do they have to have the same thing on four of the five? I don't get that.
It bugs the hell out of me.
Now, normally it wouldn't really bother me so much, but it bothered me this week because 4 out of 5 days this week, PTI was preempted. It just wasn't on. It wasn't on at all.
My God, that's a crisis for you.
Well, I mean, that's the best show TSN's got.
Yeah.
And they just refute, like, okay, so I get it. You know, TSN2, not as many households have TSN2, so fine. You don't want to put the curling on TSN2. I get it.
I know, but 1 out of the 5 TSNs should have something different, right?
Right. And so on Thursday, TSN did put PTI on TSN2. So if they were able to do that on Thursday, why weren't they able to do it the rest of the week? I actually, by the way, I did send an email to audience relations at TSN.
Did they answer you?
They have not answered me. I should have tweeted at them. They might have answered quicker. But I just asked and I said, look, I get that curling's important. I get that it's, you know, garners a lot of viewers. but why does the same thing have to be on four of the five channels? Isn't the whole idea of having five channels so that you can put different things on?
Yeah. I mean, I understand when you turn on at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, whatever, even up all the way up till noon, even most of the day, if everything's the same stuff on, because there's no live events on, right? So if they have SportsCenter on a loop, you know, from all morning, that's fine. But at a certain point, you need to have, there's no point in having all those different channels, right?
There really isn't.
Oh God, the curling. Rick makes me crazy when I see the curling.
So that's what's bugging me today.
I'm numb to the curling. I don't even look at it. I actually don't really completely understand how it works.
I curled once.
In CJEP?
I think so, yeah. And then once again, just like 5 years ago or so.
Everyone that I've talked to that's ever done curling says it's really fun.
It's not bad. I mean, I'm not good at it, but...
Yeah, but whatever. So speaking of TSN, I read yesterday that Jay and Dan are going to have their show canceled on Fox Sports 1.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And... I think the show is canceled already, or it's imminent. There was a report that it's going to be canceled and that they were not going to have their contract renewed. So it's kind of interesting to see what will happen to these guys, right? Are they just going to go back to Canada and try to get their old jobs back at TSN? Because I'm sure some people at TSN are not going to be happy. I mean, like right now, Kate and Natasha are like the number one duo, right?
Well, or Sportsnet might make a play for them.
Maybe they will, but I think their heart is still with TSN, although, like we always say, money talks, right? So, yeah, that would be huge for Sportsnet. And then the other thing is, like, there's such a backlash because so many people are mad because Jay and Dan are really well-liked, even by American viewers. And
They might go to ESPN?
There's a war right now between Fox Sports and ESPN, right? Because Fox stole away a couple of they think are talented people. Like I wouldn't call him talented is Skip Bayless, right?
And Colin Coward.
Yeah, I mean Colin Coward also not my biggest cup of tea, although I respect what Colin Coward does because he goes on for hours and hours and he doesn't have a co-host or anybody or guests. He just talks him alone by himself.
And that guy, his nickname is Big Sexy. He doesn't like Canadians. I forget his name.
Yeah, Jason Whitlock.
That's it, yes.
Yeah. So Fox has stolen away like a few people. I mean, they paid Skip Bayless like a small fortune to come to Fox. And I mean, look, I'll tell you one thing about Skip Bayless. I followed him on Twitter because I liked I found his show with Stephen A. Smith amusing. But at a certain point this year during the NFL season, I actually had to unfollow him from Twitter. I couldn't handle him anymore.
Because they also stole the name of our show for their show.
They did. 100% they did. And I hope we're getting some benefit when people start to look for the Skip, right? So
yeah,
they
exactly.
type in the Skip, and you see the Skip and Shannon Undisputed. So hopefully we're going to get some listeners just from, you know.
I would hope so.
Bad typing. So, but I don't know. We'll see what happens with Jane Dan. ESPN, TSN, Sportsnet. Maybe they pack it in. I don't know how much they like their lives in LA. Maybe they like it so much that they're going to want to stay or they're going to want to come back home. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'd love to live in California.
No, that's nonsense.
I would love it. Really, I would.
You should do it then.
Just pack
it up and go.
What do I need snow and cold and winter for? I don't need any of that.
Yeah, but Los Angeles, that's mental. It's a crazy place. You can't live there.
Whatever. It doesn't have to be Los Angeles. It could be San Diego. It could be San Francisco.
Yeah. San Diego, I would fully endorse.
San Diego, the weather there is beautiful every single day of the year. It's identical.
A couple of years ago, I went to San Diego, and it was like March here, and we still had snow on the ground, and it was cold. I get off the plane. I'm like in the taxi, and I'm like, what the hell? Why don't I live here?
It's amazing.
I'm like, why doesn't everybody live here? This is heaven on earth, you know?
I don't understand why the Chargers are leaving. I don't get it.
Someone that I work with is lives in San Diego, and he said there's a huge backlash right now in San Diego. People are very, very upset about the Chargers leaving, and that owner is basically like persona non grata in the city, right? Like he can't come back to San Diego anymore. He's in big trouble. And everyone's hoping that it's going to be a huge failure in Los Angeles because they wish nothing but bad on the ownership. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if I lived there, it's the same when the Expos left here. I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's the way it goes. Like you always say, there's always the answer to every question.
Money.
Money. All right. Well, good talking to you.
Nice show.
Yeah. And we'll chat again next week.
Excellent.
All right.
The Skip and Josh Sports Show is over now. Don't worry, there'll be another episode soon.